Final hour, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Let's talk with TD. That's his podcast that comes out every week. Also joins all of our platforms. Joins us on Mondays, normally at 11. Mike Vrabel spoke at 11. We carried that press conference live. He's now speaking with us at 1 o'clock. And this visit is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. TD, what side of the fence are you on the first touchdown? Well, the touchdown by the Titans, I was going to say the first. The Derrick Henry touchdown in the second quarter to get him on the board. Would you have gone for two there after the penalty, or would you have just taken the 7-6 lead?
I probably would have taken the 7-6 lead, but, I mean, you know, as a head coach, a guy who prides himself on physical football and on the rushing attack and that offensive line, he felt that they could get the yard, and that was his answer point blank when he was asked after the game why he went for it. I thought we could get 1 yard. Those are the exact words he said. So I get what he was doing. I mean, it is kind of chasing points, but, again, he felt that they could get that yard. So, I mean, I'm not going to second-guess that decision to do that. I think, you know, me personally, I would have taken the 7-6 lead, though.
Yeah, me too. I don't have anything to back it up. Willie doesn't have anything to back up. It's just our gut feelings, and let's run it by you and see where you are on this. I have felt like they have struggled in short yardage plays this season. Willie doesn't believe so at all. What do you know – really, how? Because I know obviously they struggle on Saturday. I'm talking about during the course of the regular season. They failed three times to get a yard in Saturday's game. But overall, this season is that. I felt like it was something that for whatever reason they've kind of always struggled with that short yardage situations. Is that a fact, or am I? Do you have anything to back up who's right here?
I don't think that you're correct. If I recall, they were one of the top teams in like goal to go situations. And let me just look here on fourth down conversion percentage. They were eighth in the league. They converted on 60% of the. That's including the game that just happened. So let's go to the final game of the regular season. Yeah, they were eighth, and they were seventh in the league, converting 62.5% of their fourth downs. So, most fourth downs, as you know, are short yardage situations. So, if they're seventh in the league doing that, I would find it hard to believe that they are not a good short yardage team. Willie is absolutely correct; they are a solid, a good short yardage team. It just didn't work out on Saturday.
Okay, disregard that question.
Willie 1, Darren 0.
Elijah, if you could erase this before you put this on the SoundCloud, just go on and take that. Although, it's not like Tron's got like hardcore evidence. Like, so, but anyway, either way, just scrap this for the air cloud, and we'll just delete this question. What were your biggest takeaways? Because obviously, people are going to point at Ryan Tannehill, people are going to point at Todd Downing. Somebody's got to get blamed when this happens. Who's going to get 51% of the blame, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, obviously it's going to go to the quarterback. That's something that Coach Vrabel acknowledged. You know, it's generally the way things go. I don't know that I put everything on the quarterback. There are some things that you know, have to happen better. You look at the first throw, like he can't telegraph that throw, right? But at the same time, the play design, like, you got to have some type of vertical route on the backside there to make that, keep that safety honest and keep them from getting a total bead on the throw, you know, where the passing lane was going to be. I can't put that all on Tannehill. I think some of that, you know, has to go on Todd Downing. But Mike Vrabel addressed that in the presser today where he said they were going max protection. So max protection, you're not going to have, you know, all your guys out in routes, so it's kind of a catch-22, but at the same time, you know, you can't telegraph your pass. You can't, and that's something that Tannehill tends to do a lot. You know, he'll make that pre-snap read, and in fact, that's what he did in the third interception. You know, so these are the things that have to get better if they're going to be able to win. So I don't put that all on Tannehill. It's a joint. They were co-defendants in this crime, so to speak, on that one.
I know he was asked today, and he sidestepped, which I expect him to do, didn't really answer it. It's not like he didn't talk about it, but do you think there's going to be any shakeup on his staff at all?
I mean, he said that's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, he said Todd Downing, did a great job, did a good job, a solid job, and is a great coach. So that's tough to answer. I mean, there's a possibility, right, with Tim Kelly out there as an offensive coordinator. So, I mean, it's definitely possible. I don't think there's going to be much change, and I don't think there really should be, because I can't say that there was any coaching malpractice or anything like that throughout the staff. And I think for the most part, this staff is pretty good.
Yeah, you're right, TD. I'm looking at what this coaching staff has done all season. Shane Bourne did an excellent job on the defense considering where they were the year before. And obviously I know personnel changed as well, but he did a really good job. I think Downing did a good job considering, the hand that he was dealt, not only before the season, but during the season when all the guys in and out of that offensive lineup. But there was one thing that during the presser that Vrabel said. He said, because it was the question about the quarterback and everything else, but he said, best players need to play their best when they need, basically when they need to and have to. Do you think he was pointing that directly at the quarterback? Because Vrabel, he's not going to single anyone out. He says a team effort. We win as a team, we lose as a team. But when you say your best players need to play their best, then you're singling out one or two people on your team.
I think he was talking about the quarterback. And one of the things that he said Saturday was Ryan Tannehill, nor anyone else, nor himself, did enough to win the game. So, yeah, I think he was, to a degree, pointing out the quarterback. Now, the question that was asked to him, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill were named, and I don't know that you could point the finger at Derrick Henry after he came back. I mean, the guy had five screws in his foot and a metal plate, steel plate, so it's not really something that you could point at him. He still had, 20 carries for 60-something yards or something like that. So if it was on a single player, I think he was pointing at Tannehill.
Now, speaking of Derrick Henry, do you think they should have handled the workload a little bit different, considering, because you can tell, even with the first carry, you could tell he just didn't have that pop. He wasn't going to come, he came back, but he wasn't going to be in football condition. Do you think they should have looked at that and said, hey, listen, we're going to give Foreman more than just four carries?
Do I think he should have been more conditioned?
No. Do you think the game plan should have been a little bit different considering Derek had been out three months and Foreman had been their bail cow for that duration? He only had four carries. Think he should have had more than four?
I think he should have, because, the guy has 60 yards on those. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, 45 of it was on that one carry, but I definitely think that there should have been a little bit more balance as far as getting him involved. And I feel like he earned that ability to get more carries. So absolutely, it should have been more balanced. But one of the things that they said they were going to do was go with the flow of the game. And it's just like, well, if you have a guy that has four carries for 60 yards, that would kind of make me flow a little bit more towards him. But at the same time, they wanted to give Derrick Henry the football as well. I still feel on that 4th-and-1, Foreman should have absolutely been the running back, because, and there's no slight on Derrick Henry, because, the guy's, playing on a remanufactured foot. I think that Foreman would have had a bit more juice and explosiveness and power on that 4th-and-1 that was so critical in the fourth quarter.
We'll step away. We'll come back more with TD on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back on Darren Donick and Chase, we're talking with TD, Teron Davenport. Joins us every Monday on the show. Derek, go ahead.
TD, quickly. I'm going to go to, because there were some questions that were brought up about the area of improvement. What will the roster potentially look like? I spoke earlier. I thought that the tight end position needs to be upgraded tremendously.
Yeah.
Do need to find another wide receiver, because I don't think Julio's, and this is just my opinion, I don't think he fits what this team wants to do moving forward. I think it was a big mistake by getting rid of Janu and Corey Davis. So what are your areas of improvement for this team moving into next season?
Yeah, I think the tight end position is something that they have to look at. You know, a guy like David Njoku, when he becomes a free agent, he's someone I would look at. You got Trey McBride out of Colorado State. But then also, they need to get not only a receiver, they need to get an explosive slot receiver that can stretch the field vertically and double as a return guy, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the last time this team was consistently getting returns, well, I was going to say when you were on the field, but I would say Pac-Man as well, you know. So they need to consistently get that field position side of things taken care of, and that's something that they could do. Depth along the offensive line I think is really important. They're going to need to get, you know, another tackle that could be a swing guy. I'm not sure exactly that Kendall Lamb will cut it in that role, you know, as far as being able to step in and start if necessary. So that's something. They have a decision to make on Jack Rabbit Jenkins, right? And so I would say depth at cornerback as well, you know, getting another corner would be a big-time thing. So those are four positions, or five off the top of my head.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, another thing that jumped out at me with Mike Vrabel, you know, this is the first time, this is still the first team he's ever been a head coach for, right? This is his baby. And you could tell how much he was hurting, because he loves these guys, right? They overcame so much. It lined up perfectly for them. And I wrote down what I thought was the right quote. It may be off a little bit, but the gist of it is right. He goes, you can do everything right. You can prepare. You put everything in place, and you can still lose. And that is sort of life in the NFL. They weren't the only team that had this happen to, but you just really worry that it's so hard to get yourself lined up in the number one seed spot and do everything they did. So it's just devastating, but he's trying to deal with it as best he can.
Yeah, I mean, this opportunity that they had, it was a golden opportunity. A.J. Brown said the red carpet to the Super Bowl ran through Nashville, and that's really how it was supposed to be, right? This team, you look at Jeffrey Simmons, right? He said driving in to the facility, he was just kind of like in a fog, in a daze, because he felt like they should be preparing to play the Chiefs right now. You know, so these guys know, they're very well aware that this is an opportunity that was just kind of kicked to the side and wasted. And it's tough to try to process that, I would imagine. But I think that was just Coach Vrabel's way of just trying to reason with it and conceptualize it, so that way, you know, you could take and move on from it. And that's the whole thing. You know, the things that happened to you, you don't go through them, you grow through them, and I think he's taking that approach.
You mentioned Jeffrey Simmons. He was unbelievable on Saturday, and that is one of the things you cling to when you start asking yourself, can this team stay at this level? Because he looks like a budding superstar.
Yeah. I mean, who did you say? I'm sorry, it faded out.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, yeah. Simmons is definitely a budding star. And the thing that I like about him is he, despite that year that he had, I asked him specifically about growth and where he needs to get better. And he said, well, you know, I had a lot of sacks, but my focus now is strip sacks. Like, what can I do to better impact the quarterback and make sure that I'm able to help this team win more? And that's where he said making the quarterback fumble. So I think just the whole idea of never settling and just being able to continue to find ways to improve. That's a great thing with him. And, you know, he's a really solid young player that has established himself as one of the best at the position. So they absolutely are going to need to make sure that he's around for a while.
We knew we weren't going to know exactly what Derrick Henry could give them until you saw him on the field, which is why I don't know what the medicals were in hindsight of whether they could have taken a look at it in the Houston game. But you saw him, and of course you got to worry, because that's just what you do, right? That you wonder if he'll ever quite be at the same level after going through what he's just gone through. You hope that he can. But with that in mind, Teron, what do you think about Deontay Foreman? Do you think he'll just be too rich for their blood, or do you think there's a way to bring him back? How do you approach the backup, the Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think Foreman is the guy. You have to bring him back because he gives you a similar level of punishment as a backer. I don't think he's going to get priced out because, you know, you look across the league, there aren't really a lot of teams that need and want that brutal, like, battering ram of a running back, you know? So I think that's something that will work in the Titans' favor. He really, in talking to him after the game, he's really appreciative of the opportunity that he got. So I feel like if the Titans want him back, they'll be able to get him back. And I don't think that price would be an issue. I think he's a guy that they could keep, you know, on the team. Now, the other thing you have to consider is there's other guys, right? You got Darrington Evans coming back, you know, and what do you do with him? You know what I mean? And can you trust him to stay healthy? I don't know that you can right now. So that's something to think about. And I definitely think regardless, Foreman needs to be back, though.
I tend to agree. I'd love to have him. What do you do about Julio Jones's situation? Do you think he's back for sure? Do you ask him to rework the contract? How do you think they will go about his role next year?
Yeah, I believe his is going to be $14.3 million or something like that. Yeah, you can ask him to redo it. I don't know how well that's going to work because, you know, this is the same guy that, you know, in year two of a deal went in and told them he wanted it reworked. So I'm not sure how that would be. He seems like very much of a team guy. So they may be able to do it and kind of like kick the can down the road a little bit, stretch things out some. But it's either way, he's on this team next year. Just like Ryan Tannehill, they're on the team next year. You know, like it or not, they're going to be here because those deals are just, they're too hard to get out of right now.
I think overall, because you could say the same thing about Tannehill, they accelerated, they reworked the deal. He's got a big cap number. I think Bud Dupree's goes up as well, if I recall. You got Taylor Lewan situation. You got a lot of big decisions. I wonder how much John Robinson will try to, you know, maybe pay a long-term price to keep the window open here. I think in a general theme with a lot of different decisions, I'm curious which way he goes.
Yeah, and it's not just John Robinson. You got Vin Marino involved in that too. You know, he's their contract specialist. So those guys are going to be very busy. But you know what? Honestly, Willie, to an extent, they somewhat mortgaged the future for the present this past offseason, right? The whole trade for Julio Jones. And that's something that you understand making a deal, right? I mean, like, you're scared money don't make money. You know, that's the saying. So, I mean, it's you get taking that risk. I just wonder if a guy like Marvin Jones, you know, who has 73 receptions for 800-plus yards in Jacksonville, and he signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. Like, I wonder if that was something that they considered. You know what I mean? That was a guy that I before the Julio situation came into picture, that was the signing that I thought would have been really good for them. But, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Now you have to figure out, you know, what you're going to do. And they have a big decision on their hands, not just with those guys. You got Zach Cunningham at $10 million a year. You know what I mean? So that's going to be an interesting one as well.
Oh, we're going into that season. It is going to be a really interesting offseason to see if they can come back and stay on the list of contenders next year. Teron, great stuff. We'll have plenty to discuss in the weeks going ahead, weeks and months. Thanks for your great coverage all season long with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No problem. Appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, Teron Davenport. I guess that's the question I'd love to throw at the guys when we come back on the other side. Can they be as good next year as they were this year? With all the decisions they have going, the age of some of the key players, the situation with Derrick Henry, that is the question. And it's unfortunate we have to ask this question today and not in a few weeks. Let me tell you about Loan Pronto. One of the best things you can do for your new year and for your whole financial package in 2022 is to get cash out of your home's equity with a super fast, no-cost refi from Loan Pronto. We know home values in our listing area are great right now, so you can use that to your advantage by getting the cash out. Call Loan Pronto. They can fast-track your home refi, get you a check for several thousand dollars, and if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay the closing costs, so it's a great deal for you. It's easy. You walk away with a big check that you can use right now to pay off whatever you need to, whether it's high-interest credit cards, other loans that you have, PMI charges, or if you just want to reinvest to a new home improvement project, you can do that. You can fix up your home and make it even more valuable. So now's the time to access that equity while the rates are still really low. Call Loan Pronto. It usually closes around 2 weeks. The process is easy, and you can even skip your next two house payments. Got to love the sound of that. 615-499-5780 for Loan Pronto. That's 615-499-5780 or Loan Pronto. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1667781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Thank you, Paul. Had a lot of calls today. A lot of people want to react to what happened over the weekend. In particular, what happened here on Saturday. Let's keep that going. Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith, down in the borough, what's up?
Yeah, I'm a little perplexed. I can't help but wonder when teams are going to stop playing a prevent defense, because all it does is prevent you from winning. Did you see the distance they were giving those receivers in the Kansas City-Buffalo game with 13 seconds left, and all they needed was a field goal? In today's day and age of kickers, you can't. Why do they stop playing? It's the only sport I know where the team that's winning stops playing.
It happens in basketball.
I was to say this, Keith. We already talked about it earlier in the show. The Bucks didn't play a prevent defense, and it cost them the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's no right or wrong answer. I just, when I say that, because I knew that guy was going to call. I don't know that guy, but I knew we would have a call like that every Monday when something like that happens. But that's why, right? When Cooper Kupp gets behind the best receiver in the game, has single coverage and beats the guy down the middle with no help over the top, that wasn't a prevent defense.
No, it wasn't.
But that's why you do play prevent defense, is to keep that from happening.
With a prevent defense, what it is that obviously you don't want anyone to get behind you. What you try to do is keep everything in front of you in hopes that, you know, you're running those deep routes. The quarterback still has to fit it in a tight window. Or if you throw it short, then we can all rally. Everybody sees the ball. We can all rally and make the tackle. Every team in the National Football League, you know, does it at some point during the season. You know, the Titans didn't play a prevent at the end. They played cover two, which I think ended up biting them in the rear end. Tampa didn't play prevent, and it ended up biting them in the rear end. So you just have to pick and choose when you're going to play that defense, because a lot of times it does, especially when you need a touchdown, it does prevent the team from hitting you with big shots because you're playing a base defense or man-to-man. It makes them methodically move the ball down the field, because defenses are told, listen, make them catch it in the field of play and get them on the ground and allow time to run out, especially if they don't have a timeout or if they have one. So you'll never see teams stop playing that type of defense, but you got to get a little savvy with it. It can't be every down when you're trying to stop a team toward the end of the game.
I'd love to get your take on this particular play, guys. The play before Butker kicks the game tying field goal for the Chiefs. I just thought, because they had timeouts, I thought it was just way too easy for Kelce to get as far up the field and as open as he was on that play. I was just What was that coverage? Like, that's the one I'm sore at if I'm a Bills fan, going, wait a minute, that was too easy how he got in there. They had a timeout. They could use the middle of the field. They had a couple seconds to spare. He could have run a couple more steps.
Kansas City is a unique offense, and they're unique because they have speed. And I'm not just talking, you know, a Mustang or a Porsche. They got Lamborghini, Bugatti, you know, some of these $500,000, million-dollar car speed on their team. And if you want to go man-to-man with that, so be it. I would rather go a little zone and tackle them. It did seem like they gave them a little bit too much open space. They didn't give them a – it wasn't like they were deep down the field. They just gave them too much space sideline to sideline. Those holes were huge, and they still were able to make the tackle, but it was just once he got the ball in his hands with all that space, I mean, it's hard to beat a team like KC because they might just be the fastest team I have ever seen in the National Football League offensively.
How is it okay with much taunting, the penalty that I hate and despise in the NFL, as much as they call that ridiculous penalty all season long, how is it running right next to the guy, waving deuces to him as you go bye-bye right by him? Whatever car you want to describe, Tyreek Hill.
It was a peace sign. It was
yeah.
the peace
yeah,
sign.
Yeah, he's more what? Like a – yeah.
He's a peaceful man.
He's
a jet. He's not even a car. He's a jet.
What was he saying? Peace, love, happiness?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
But, okay, not a penalty. Okay, Willie. I mean, Darren, if you call that penalty, it's still a touchdown. It's still a touchdown.
Okay, I understand.
So why – I mean, why call it? It's still a touchdown.
Because you called it all year.
I mean, they could have called it.
How about just stay consistent? You've called that stupid penalty all year.
But he did it in such a way. He was running so fast, wasn't no ref around, okay?
the ref missed it. The ref
exactly.
It happened. He was running too fast.
And you know, you've been on a highway and that motorcycle or that car come by you, boom.
You really don't see it. You hear it,
yeah. But you don't see it. Yeah. That was just like Tyreek Hill. You heard him, but you didn't see it.
That was incredible. Incredible run.
I was going to ask you, and it was actually touched on in the last segment, because I said when we were talking about it earlier, I said I need to hit you with the return game, and we didn't get to it because we got some calls. But I did want to talk to you about the return game because Chester Rogers isn't the guy, is he?
He did have a punt return this season, didn't he? Or was it last season? I can't quite remember.
He kind of started having the dropsies.
Yeah, that.
And I know he got it. Luckily, there was contact made, so there was a penalty because he had the dropsies Saturday. But there was a penalty. But even when he did,
yeah, but
they got
so you can't hang
nothing.
That on him. That's got nothing to do with it.
Did I hang it on him?
Saturday?
Did I hang it on him?
No, you can't even bring it up. You said it's the drop.
No, I can't bring it up because I just brought it up. What do you mean I can't bring it up? I just brought it up. I mean, I did already.
You said he had the drops. He's on Saturday. That's not a drop. He got hit before the ball got there. What
ding,
are you supposed to do?
Ding, ding, ding. All right, but you guys go to the corner.
Okay. When he did catch the ball, he literally gained nothing. I mean, no return whatsoever. Can they do better in that department?
Yeah, you always want to, you know, upgrade. I don't think a lot of teams put emphasis on the returner as far as, you know, game breakers. They want somebody back there that can catch the ball, secure it. And, hey, if you get some yardage, great. You know, because the NFL is sort of trying to take – you know, they're trying to take all of that sort of out of the game. But when it comes to returners, I mean, people see the guy that's catching the ball. They don't see the other 10 guys blocking. And a lot of times it's because of the other 10 guys that are blocking and doing their job that the guy that's returning the ball gets the glory. From 1999 to 2001, I got the glory. returning ball, returning kicks and punts. But it was those guys up front that made it possible for me to lead the league in kickoff returns, or, you know, during the playoffs, having, you know, the return records. Yes, I did my job, but if I do my job and those 10 guys up front doesn't, then I'm just a jag, another guy, just another guy. But if they do their job on top of me doing my job and being explosive, then you're always going to have a good return and teams are going to fear you. So I'm not going to put it all on Chester Rogers. There may have been a few here and there, but I think it's a combination of, you know, the return that's called, guys doing exactly what they're supposed to do, the holdups on the outside on punt return. So it has a lot. It's not just the return guy. Devin Hester, one of the best, if not the greatest return man in the world.
He was the best.
If he didn't have those guys up front blocking for him, he would have just been an okay returner. He would have been a guy that had great ability, but because the guys up front didn't do their job, he didn't get an opportunity. That ability didn't get opportunities to flourish. You see what I'm saying?
Well, so I don't think you can say that he had the best blocking of all time, and that's why he was good.
No. What I'm saying is that he has to have guys doing their job.
Sure.
Guys, even if you get in the way of a guy, that allows me the returner to play off you. If you're just clearly missing your blocks, holding and everything else, we have no chance. But at least you're in position, then I can play off you.
Would you bring him back, or would you look for a better alternative?
I'm with TD. If they can go and get a bona fide slot guy that can double as a returner, then go and do it. But, you know, that wouldn't be my top priority. Yeah, but that wouldn't be my top priority. Hey, I need a return guy.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be my top priority.
But maybe more, see if you can link the two.
Exactly.
A slot guy with the return.
Especially if he's a young guy, a rookie or second or third year player, because typically you're not going to see a fifth or eighth year player,
right,
you know, being that pivotal for your offense and then turning around and being your primary returner. Now, he may come in and out like Tyreek Hill did this past Sunday, when they needed a big play, and they put him at punt return, and what happened? He had a huge play on punt return. So you want to still be able to have a guy like that on your roster. I would like to see A.J. Brown do it.
Really?
You know, give him a shot. I mean, the guy is a physical presence when he's running the ball. So if he can catch the ball, I think he's been back there a few times in his career. If he's able to catch the ball, then give him an opportunity. But then again, he gets hurt, then what happens?
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd really put him back there?
If I needed a return, I would. If I needed a big return, because he's, besides Derrick Henry, he's your most explosive offensive player.
Yep. Let's go to Nate on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. Derrick, I got a question for you with the comment you just made about the Tyreek Hill peace sign. This is a legitimate question. How is that not a play or a penalty that would negate the touchdown? Because it's not a dead ball personal foul. It's while he's running down the field and the play's still live.
You may exactly be right on that point, but I'm thinking, did they call it? They called it before on him, and I believe they still gave him the touchdown. 2 years ago that he did that.
Yeah, they assessed it, I think.
Yeah, they assessed it after the kickoff. So in this situation, yes, it's a live ball, but what can you assess it at? You can't say, well, the game's over, you know? So I'm just thinking back to when they caught it on the first time on him. It didn't take away the touchdown. What it did was it pushed them further back on the kickoff, and I think they had to kick from the 20. Instead of where they usually kick. So it wouldn't have negated. It's not like a holding penalty or anything. So it wouldn't have negated the touchdown. They would have just assessed it on the kickoff. If I'm correct.
As crazy as it sounds, I also think there is a difference between the two fingers up and pointing. If he pointed right at his face, he might have been, you know, really playing with fire there? It's all up to interpretation, right? Was that really a taunt? I'm glad they swallowed
the whistle.
When you're
saying deuces to the guy you're running by, yeah, that's a taunt. Yes, that's a taunt. But it's
but
a stupid rule.
Of taunt. There's degrees of taunt. I agree. It's a stupid rule. We discussed it all year long. But it was a point of emphasis. And I hopefully think that the players, for the most part, got the message.
Well, I guess Tariq didn't get it.
I know. That is it's worth discussion, right? If it's a point of emphasis, then to the letter of the law, they absolutely could have thrown the flag on there. Now, that's a good question. What is the rule?
But they would have just assessed it.
And Dominican Sue, he got a taunting against after he sacked Stafford. He got a taunting because he got up and looked at him. How dare you? Don't get up and look at him. Don't you make eye contact. They gave him a taunting.
Yeah, I mean, if we've seen,
but could you interpret
penalties.
What he did was not taunting? Could you?
No,
could
you can't. You
made
can't.
That if you're the official and you're asked, why didn't you throw the flag? If he says, I didn't think it was taunting.
Well, you talking about Hill?
Yeah.
For the, nah, for the that was taunting.
That was taunting.
Yeah,
100%.
Way. It was taunting. Now you could have said, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but I'm saying if he said, yeah, I saw it, but I don't believe it was taunting, no, that's taunting.
That's why nobody made a big deal
but
about
it's subjective.
It. That's why
it's
it hasn't been a big deal
agree,
about that.
The ref may not agree.
Yeah, you're right, but I think that's why the consensus haven't made a big deal about it, because it wouldn't have changed what happened. It would have just been a 15-yard penalty. Assess when? Next year. Or next season. They would have assessed the next season. Oh, Kansas City versus somebody in the first game of the season. Oh, remember that personal foul you had? Taunting? We're going to assess it right now.
All right, we'll come back and wrap up Monday's edition of the show. But first, a word about Lee Company.
All right, Lee Company, big win for the Predators on Saturday night. And they are a big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey. When you come to Smashville, and this week, of course, when you listen to our radio coverage, a couple of late night games in Seattle and in Edmonton, Tuesday and Thursday night, Lee Company will be right alongside with us with our radio coverage here on 102.5 The Game. So remember, Lee Company has a lot of great services for you. General maintenance. Got a problem? Cold air leaking in a little bit from the windows, not sealed properly. Anything you can think of. The doors, weatherizing your home, fences outside. Any general maintenance questions you have at your home, or for that matter, at your business, Lee Company can help you with those. Just give them a call. Always keep the number top of mind, 615-567-1000. And also, if you don't even want to pick up the phone, you can just make an online appointment, be done with it by going to leecompany.com. Let them come in, fix the problem. You can go about your business that you want to take care of. It's all happening at Lee Company. 615-567-1000 or leecompany.com. Proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
I just remembered, I should have asked Roger Goodell at Patron Platinum Club after postgame about the taunting. He's in there hanging out, having some drinks after taking in the Titans game. Should have asked him that.
I would
actually
be interested in what the league statement. Would the league make a statement on that?
That was a joke, but he was at the game, as we know.
No, but it's a fair question, though. I don't know if it really affected the game, unless it would have negated the touchdown. Because the Bills came back down and scored. We all know what happened there in that epic game. But just the way that has been an issue all year, I'm just curious. Do they feel like, in retrospect, that should have been called?
But again, there hasn't been, at least to my knowledge, there hasn't been much chatter about that. Because if it was a penalty that would have negated the touchdown, then I think there would have been an uproar
by
Bills fans and everybody else. But I mean, it wasn't going to take the touchdown away. Again, they were going to assess it next season.
And even if it was enforced on the kickoff,
there was no kickoff.
The Bills. the Bills are going to come back down and score, no matter what. They weren't getting stopped anyway. Just kick it into the end zone. The Bills ended up coming back and scoring anyway. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because there was still, I forget, there was still time in the game. That was right before the Bills scored.
With 13 seconds left.
Exactly.
Hold on, guys. Hold on. Gabriel Davis, wide open touchdown. He just scored again.
Man.
That's five, right?
I lost
that guy's still open.
I mean, At what point do you figure out that maybe – I know they've got Diggs, and I know they've got Sanders, Dawson Knox, but at what point do you think maybe you ought to pick up Davis?
Well, after the second touchdown, shouldn't you?
Maybe. I'm just saying. Yeah. Possibly.
It was maybe a busted coverage, though, on that last touchdown. Busted coverage.
Does the overtime?
He fell down, though, didn't he?
No, on the last touchdown, you remember.
The one in the back of the end zone?
No, that wasn't the last touchdown.
That was his third touchdown.
Yeah, that was his third touchdown. Okay. The last touchdown was the safety went outside to pick up the running back and then motioned everybody to come in.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusion.
Well, the nickelback, he did go to the third guy inside, but he didn't play the leverage that he was supposed to play. He was supposed to play inside leverage because basically, essentially, it was cover two man, and he didn't play the guy inside. He played him outside, and the middle of the field was wide open. Same thing.
Does the overtime rule for playoff games get changed based on this game?
No. They're not changing it.
They think they'll say it?
What would you say the same? What would you do?
Because you can be playing all night, Willie.
Oh, I get it. Listen, I've not been one screaming for a change, but in a playoff game, I can understand maybe making a tweak for the playoffs.
What's the tweak?
Somebody said this, and I think you play 15 minutes, and then the game ends there. If it ends in a tie, then you add on.
But you that's make just them too play much. 15
exactly.
minutes?
You got to play an extra quarter.
You're make them play 15 minutes?
And what if the game's tied? Would it then be an extra 15 minutes or 10 minutes?
Yeah, I don't think that's. I think at that point
you could make it next score wins.
But then people are going to complain. They should have got an opportunity.
No question. I'm just throwing it out there because I'm not one that is screaming for a change. But I texted you guys. I was actually in the midst of texting it before the Chiefs scored the touchdown. They were on the drive because I knew. You just had the feeling whoever won the coin toss, those offenses were not being stopped. Whoever won the coin toss was likely going to go down and score a touchdown.
Okay, it's ironic.
It's going to trigger the debate.
It's ironic that Kansas City wanted the rule to be changed.
They did.
And then they benefited from the rule not being changed.
Right, yep.
So just leave it the way it is because if Buffalo gets another opportunity, they're scoring. And then Kansas City would have been upset.
Oh, right. If it would happen to Kansas City again, oh boy. Yikes.
But this is, I'm just giving you asked the question. The trendy thing that's being thrown out there is you would play 15 minutes.
Yeah. Can't do that.
I definitely
and
don't.
If you remain tied after the and if it remains tied after the 15 minutes,
would
it
have
a field goal kickoff? Then it's next score wins. In a playoff game.
I think
then
they bring targets out, moving targets, and they have a throwing contest.
Well, no, but that's the point. The point is nobody wants to see any of that stuff, right? Uh-huh. Especially in a playoff game. So you do play. But 15 minutes, you play. And then if it's still tied, next score wins.
And then after that, everybody take off their helmets and we'll just play flag football. Yeah.
Arm wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, what a day. Anyway. All right. Well, we'll be right back at it again tomorrow. It'll probably feel like Groundhog's Day. But that's what we'll do because this is not going to go away anytime soon. Have a great rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.